This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik. Everyone is on the hunt for a drug that can effectively treat COVID-19. Will Malaysia find the answer when it participates in the global solidarity trial by the World Health Organization? To find out more, I'm speaking to Dr. Chow Ting Su, infectious disease consultant at Hospital Pulau Pinang, who's also the principal investigator for the trial in Malaysia. How are you, Dr. Chow?
Fine, thank you.
Dr. Chow, of course, we were all really interested to hear about Malaysia being part of the solidarity trial. Everyone's looking forward to some good news about medications. But if we take a step back, how are COVID-19 patients currently being treated when they're in hospitals?
Well, that is a very interesting question, Zoe. There is currently no standard treatment regime available for COVID-19 patients. Locally, I think we all manage them with supportive management by ensuring good hydration and nutrition. And the most important thing is to monitor them closely every day, sometimes with maybe daily blood tests, depending on whether they have risk factors or not, and chest x-ray if indicated. There's no effective antiviral at present moment for COVID-19. And certain centers, you know, some of them will use hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID-19 patients with pneumonia, but some also adding on to it with antiviral. But I would like to stress that there's no known effective therapy at present moment yet for this disease.
All right. When you say there's no known effective, I mean, we hear about some doctors having a little bit of success with certain antivirals. They're experimenting with antiretrovirals. How do we take that all into context to understand what do you mean by effective?
Yeah, well, I would like to say that at present moment, there's no proper study on antivirals or any other medicine for this group of COVID-19 in Malaysia at present. So those antivirals were, you know, people used in as in experiment overseas, they has not studied in local context, okay? Mm-hmm. However, that is why I said I cannot comment on the efficacy and the results here in our local context because we do not have a standard trial protocol using this type of antivirals versus, you know, the background control. So effectively, I cannot say whether it is working or not. Yeah. Mm.
So why is a trial like Solidarity going to be so important? I mean, some people are asking, if some doctors are already experimenting, why can't we just use them straight away and test out the results? You know, why is a proper study so important?
Yeah. I think it is very important because we would not know exactly what is the best treatment protocol for COVID-19 if we do not do a trial in a controlled setting. So like in Solidarity trial, it is stated that, you know, the criteria to be involved is very clearly, and then it randomized into one group with this A therapy, another group with B therapy, another group with C therapy. So when we have this kind of controlled situation, then we can compare. And then the study trial results will give us the answer whether this is working or this is not working, or this is effectively working or not effectively not working. So I think a trial is very important in this context.
Mm. So what kind of treatments will the Solidarity trial study?
All right. The trial actually involved only adults more than 18 years old, and all of them need to be confirmed by test to have COVID-19 disease. And there are 5 arms in this trial. The standard of care arms compared to remdesivir, an antiviral, and compared to another arm of antiviral called lopinavir-ritonavir, which is an anti-HIV drug. And the 4th group is lopinavir-ritonavir plus interferon. And the 5th group is the anti-malaria drug, which we call chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine. Yeah?
And so we're looking at adults above 18 years old confirmed to have COVID. What are the other criteria for the patients who will be?
Oh, the other criteria, the patient has to be agreeable to join the study. That means we need to get their consent by explaining clearly what is, you know, available for them. And then they are able to sign the consent. And then they have the right to pull out at any point they feel like, you know, they do not want to join the studies. And I would like to say that Solidarity Trial by WHO has gotten approval from our Malaysia Research Ethics Committee.
And speaking of the patients who will be included, will you include those with coexisting health conditions like diabetes or heart disease?
Yeah, it is not a contraindication for us to recruit those comorbid patients like diabetes or heart disease, but it depends on the primary investigator. If they think that the heart disease is too advanced or the liver disease or kidney disease is too advanced, so we are actually had the right not to invite those patients to be studied because some of the drugs may cause some problem if we use it in advanced kidney disease or advanced liver disease or advanced heart disease.
And is there a maximum age limit for the patients?
No, there's no maximum age limit for the study.
And how will you, how about the stage of their COVID infection? Will all stages of disease be included?
Yeah, it didn't stated. It didn't state that which category of disease is not to be included, but it actually opens for the investigator to recruit or to enroll. It's that you can actually, they didn't mention about the category of the disease. It can be mild to moderate or those cases with pneumonia. So it actually opens up to the clinicians to actually decide on this. So we would, in Malaysia collectively, we would recruit everybody. Can be from mild to moderate or even include the pneumonia stage.
So the recruitment will be done through the individual hospitals that are participating in the Malaysian part of the trial, right? Which hospitals will be involved?
There are 9 hospitals all total from Perlis, Kedah, Penang, Hospital Sungai Buloh and HKL, and then Melaka, Pahang and Sabah and Sarawak.
Okay, and so how many subjects will this study actually look at?
This study did not put a limit for our country. It is a global study, so it is open up for everybody to recruit. And as you know, that this current situation, we are in a pandemic situation. The more the patient, the more robust the study will be, because statistically it will be better if there is a large amount of patients being enrolled. And then they will look at the results and then they will decide, this is time for us to stop the study. So there is no capping limit for us and we can just continuously to recruit as long as the trial is still open.
And what if patients who haven't been recruited actually want to volunteer to be part of this trial?
So this patient must be confirmed having COVID-19 disease, and we welcome anybody who can actually ask for this, and we will explain in detail what is this study about, and in each category, what is the side effect that could happen, and if they are willing, they are volunteering, then we would recruit them.
Okay, and so how will you assign the different treatments to the patients?
All right, very good question. We will key in all the data, excluding the identification number for the patient. So all these patients will be given a code so that nobody can identify them. And then we will take into consideration of their age, their comorbid status, their category of severity of the disease, and then all will be keyed onto the computer, onto an electronic basis, and then we will randomize by a computer. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you mentioned earlier that the different treatment groups will be also compared to standard of care. So in a way,
yes.
I guess that's the placebo.
Standard of care means that every group will have the similar thing. Means that if we give nutrition, everyone will have nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
If we give vitamins, everyone should have vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we say control. Or if we wouldn't have placebo because this is an open label. So there will be no fake drug or anything that given to the standard of care group. Yeah.
I see. All right.
Yeah.
And will the trial be blinded?
No, it's not. It's an open trial, but okay. It's open randomized trial.
All right. Okay. And yeah. So earlier you've already mentioned there's some possibility of side effects that the patients must be made aware of. What are the potential adverse effects that we know of with these drugs?
The most drug that we very, very well versed is the anti-HIV drug. It may cause some gastric discomfort and sometimes diarrhea, and occasionally some liver enzymes will go up, but it is actually manageable most of the time with symptomatic treatment. And certain drug like hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine, it may cause cardiac rhythms to go a little bit haywire. So we need to look at the baseline ECG or cardiac rhythm, make sure that they are safe to be on treatment, and then monitor them if required. And then remdesivir, there are some reports saying that some liver enzyme may derange. So we will have to monitor that also as well. For interferon, we have some flu-like symptoms. Sometimes they get this tiredness and muscle aches. So we will have to also take into consideration all that to manage them as well. Yeah.
Mm. And what if during the trial you pick up patients who do experience these adverse effects? What happens then?
Then we will have a record of adverse effect for the safety issue. But WHO would just want to look at severe adverse events. The minor one, we will have a record on our own data. But the severe one, like, for example, hyperallergic reaction syndrome, or we call it as hypersensitivity reaction syndromes, anaphylaxis, shock, you know, things like that. So, which is very rare, but we will have a report on that, yeah.
Okay. So what are the outcomes that you'll be measuring under this trial?
Okay, the primary outcome of this trial is to look at all-cause mortality, and with the major secondary outcome to look at duration of hospital stay, and not to forget the time of the first ICU care from the time of admission. So these three are the main outcome which is recorded in the trial.
Can you help us to understand what all-cause mortality means?
Means that the death, any case that died, will be registered as fatal mortality.
Mm-hmm.
So all-cause mortality didn't count into whether this is directly death due to COVID or not due to COVID. All will be collected as mortality. So
mm-hmm.
this is what we call all-cause mortality.
Mm. And so
yeah.
You will be looking at how the rates of the deaths.
Yes,
fare
how many
with
percentage
each.
Of
mm-hmm.
death,
mm-hmm.
and also how many percent can, you know, discharge earlier, and which arm is discharged earlier compared to one arm,
mm-hmm.
and also which arm will do better in terms of, you know, deferring ICU care, if possible, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Yeah.
Mm, okay. And what other countries are involved? Because this is a global trial by the WHO.
There are almost more than 70 countries, if I'm not mistaken. But around our region is like Thailand, Indonesia. I think they are all in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. So what kind of coordination or resource sharing will take place among the countries, whether it's within the region or worldwide?
We do share information, and they will give us the best or the earliest result. One of the person, the key person in Malaysia, is myself and another representative of Ministry of Health,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Suresh in Hospital Sungai Buloh.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us will be in close contact with the primary WHO team, and they would let us know which arm is doing better or which arm is not, and we will closely look into it, and also sharing all the adverse event if possible, any severe adverse reaction that has occurred in either one of the, you know, five arms. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be informed very, very closely by small group of people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And besides the solidarity trial, there are a lot of other centres worldwide doing their own trials as well. The National Institutes of Health in the US, for instance, Canada, Europe, China. How will the solidarity trial compare or perhaps even build on the results of the other trials?
I guess you need to look at the different trials have different aim. The main aim of solidarity trial here is to look at clinical treatment on the COVID-19 patients, and also to look at the primary outcome. They want to look at the whether we can reduce the severity of the mild cases so that they won't progress to the severe one, mm-hmm. or treatment patients in those who are critically ill category so that they do not proceed to death, you know. Mm-hmm. As there is currently very lacking of clinical science or evidence in all the treatment regime, I think we need to conduct different clinical trials based on what the clinical outcome, and then on which we will fairly know, you know, what will work and what will not work. Mm-hmm. So all these trials, I think collectively, you know, you can actually put emphasis on. Maybe one trial will put emphasis on looking at viral load and the other trial is looking at outcome. So all in all, I think it is complement each other, okay? And I think it is results on other trial also will provide very useful information for data of safety monitoring in terms of the safety of the drugs that we are going to use, yeah?
Okay. And so what next, right? What is a reasonable time frame for people to start expecting results? And even after you are able to publish results, then what is the progression to actual clinical use?
Okay, this one, we need to have a very good statistical power to look at whether which arm is better than that. So it depends on the rate of recruitment of the patient and also the data collected. So all this trial, I think the earliest, if everybody is fast, you know, in recruiting, the earliest you will get some kind of reports will be in 3 to 4 months' time. Mm-hmm. And thereafter, maybe with a good statistic behind it, I cannot guarantee whether we can all roll out and say that one treatment is better than the other, mm-hmm. In a quick way, but I would say that probably in half a year or maybe in 3 or 4 or even 5 months later, maybe we can see some results. Yeah.
Okay. What if, on the other hand, the trial actually fails to produce any positive outcomes for each of these treatments?
So in trial, it is actually never a failed trial, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, no matter what it is, we have the answer in the end. So even though it's a failed trial or failed to show any good result, then we have the answer that this drug doesn't work and not effective, and we can stop using that drug that may cause even harm, right? Mm. So I would say that negative results in whatever trial is still remains a useful tool for us or useful decision for us to help in clinical decision in future.
Mm. Because it helps us to then say, okay, we need a new direction perhaps.
Yeah, correct.
Mm. Yes. Dr. Chow, thank you so much for sharing about the solidarity trial. We really look forward to seeing the results down the line. Do you have a final message for us?
Well, COVID-19 is still a very new disease, okay? My last message is, you know, this is not a common flu. This is a disease that we do not have any immunity against it. So the science behind it is still very new, and the knowledge behind it is evolving. You know, it's really liquid and fluid. And as a clinicians, we are learning every day without fail. Every night we are seeing papers and looking at evidence. So I would say that, you know, for all public stay home, stay at home and try to stay away and not trying to get this disease, because of all the evidence out there, we actually are still in a very new learning curve about the disease. So would pledge and, you know, urge everybody just stay at home, you know, try to break the circuit and be safe and let the disease, you know, probably can die off, you know, when there's no more transmission or somehow people were saying that the young people will get herd immunity by, you know, some of us may actually have the disease, but it's mild. I mean, we not know that we are having it. So protect the old one, let the old one stay at home, you know, because we know that in this disease, the elderly actually not doing well. As you can see that in Malaysia data, those who actually pass away are, majority of them are actually elderly population. So we need to protect our old and elderly populations and then try to make sure that everybody do the same, you know, just stay at home. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Chow. I've been speaking to Dr. Chow Ting Su, infectious disease consultant and also the principal investigator for the Malaysian arm of the Solidarity Trial by the World Health Organization. You've been listening to Health and Living on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.